This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the Christian War Room, and welcome to BPN Radio and Seismic Radio. Today, I want to talk about, in my opinion, a successful Christian War Room operation. And again, I mean, the whole idea about the Christian War Room is to deal with problems we have in this world. That this world is going to go. That this world is going against us. They are coming up with ideas, with concepts, which are very anti-Christian. And as time goes on, it seems to be more and more extreme. People are in the West going further and further away from God, calling upon themselves eventually the judgment of God. We know where it's leading to. We know that we are heading towards the end time. Jesus is about to return, and that we are heading towards a time of tribulation, the tribulation period, on account of what is happening in this world and to where we are right now at this time. But it is important to draw out individuals. I have to think about a story, and there was like a big storm in the sea, and a lot of fish got washed up on the beach. Yeah, a lot of fishes. The beach was full of fishes. And there was a little boy, and the little boy was just throwing the fish, you know, which was still twitching and sort of lying on the beach trying to survive and hoping for another wave to pull him back in again. But the boy was just throwing fish back into the water. And then a man came to him and he said, look, boy, what are you doing here? You know, this doesn't work. You know, do you see all these fish which are here on the beach, which are stranded on the beach? And I said, you'll never be able to throw them all back into the water. And he said, like, what you are doing, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't make a difference. And then the boy went back and he turned to the old man and he said, yeah, but it'll make a difference to the fish I've just thrown into the water, back into the water. And I think that is a concept here. Even though we may not be able to reach the masses because they are inoculized, they are immune, they don't want to hear the gospel, they hate God, they hate Jesus. I've just heard an interesting talk from some of the stuff that's going on in the United States. You know, you probably hear about Christian conferences, and you hear about you know, what people, when they're getting together, they've got a conference, and then suddenly you've got like you know, some renowned speakers, and you get like thousands or maybe hundreds, maybe dozens of people coming together and just celebrating their faith and doing something. And very often, sort of Christian or churches, they've got retreats, and they go to Christian retreat centers. There are a couple of them here in the UK, and I've been to some of them, and it's always always very encouraging, you know, to hang out with other Christians, to talk to people you would otherwise never talk to. And I've sort of met a lot of interesting people, made one or two friends, and it was always an exciting time. Now, what's happening now is, and that's pretty much been unheard of before, that pagans do the same thing. So they meet a conference hall, and they invite pagans from all over the country for a weekend, an elongated weekend, like a Friday to Sunday or Friday to Monday or something, to join them and to have this pagan conference. And where, what was it? I was listening to a talk, and the speaker, pretty much Christian guy, infiltrated the event, and he was saying that they had the journey to the underworld and things like that, yeah? Which was basically a celebration of Satanism through the back door. They wouldn't call it like that. They would always call it Mother Earth and all this and that. But it's all through the back door. And now what they're trying to do is, that's what he found out, they're trying to do the same thing as what the LGBT movement, sort of the gay pride marches. They want to do something similar. They want to have a pagan pride march. And it's quite interesting. I had to think. I mean, it's not that long ago. And I'm probably looking about 20 years ago. And again, I live in a small town in the north of England, and it used to be a mining town, and mining was a very dangerous profession, so you never knew whether you would go home at the end of the shift. A lot of people died in the mines, so it was very, very dangerous, and maybe, possibly, because of that, people were very open for the gospel. You know, they knew, you know, they had to be at peace with God doing this job. But other than that, there was a big revival instigated by John Wesley and the Methodists in the north of England. And probably when I moved into this this place, it was about the fourth or fifth generation after John Wesley of people who were still sort of adhering to the standards. And I remember sort of one Sunday morning, I was just sitting in the living room and I heard a commotion outside, and suddenly there was like a big parade, and there were just Christians having a procession through town proclaiming the grace of God. I've never seen it since. I think it must have been maybe the last time or the other times, maybe around about the time I wasn't here. Later, I found out that, looking at traditional pictures, that it was customary for, I think they did it for Pentecost, to have these marches, but I don't know whether they are taking place. I know the churches in this area are highly depleted. There used to be a church at every corner, a big church as well. And nowadays, when you look at these churches, you get like a handful of people going to them. So it's been a very, very strong shift. But now what we find is we find people getting interested in paganism. They're getting interested in the occult. We've got other, things where people get right into it. But ultimately, it's going to lead them to hell. Okay, coming back, the war room. We need to rescue the individual, the one fish we can throw back into the sea to survive. And we should be busy at it. And there are various ways of doing this. And I want to sort of just quickly get you to a website. And one thing, again, which I've noticed over the time was that Christian bookshops, they just disappeared. They just disappeared. And it's very, very disturbing when you think about this. Very disturbing when you think about this. So they just disappeared from the face of the earth. When you go online, there may be one or two outlets. Yeah, maybe a bit more, I don't know. But they've just disappeared. When I look at the back of churches, you don't see bookshops either. I mean, the church I used to go to, they had this aspect of just like a borrowing library where you could just take a book home and you brought it back the following Sunday or something. To read it and to have some media on there. And that was a good idea as well, and it might be a war room activity to create some miniature libraries. I know people have, here in England, they bought up phone booths. They were gotten rid of, and they turned them into mini libraries where people could just pick up a book and put one back into it when they've read it, and so you would have a little bit of, based on the honesty principle, a little bit of the activities going on, books being shared. And that's something which you could do maybe as a Christian as well, but probably the danger is great. But even if it happens, so what? You just stock them up again, that they get vandalized and destroyed. But you could have maybe something similar, just just a cupboard or whatever with something similar based on the honesty principle in a semi-public space, maybe inside the church or something, but just to get it out and also to distribute tracts. Now, I've come across this website here, and I just want to share this with you. And I don't know these people, so I'm not endorsing anybody. I haven't got a clue who they are. It seems to be the website seems to be fairly basic, so I'm sure they're not web experts. But it's okay; it's functional, it works, everything is there. It's not quite as flashy as some of the other ones, but it's not about being flashy. So we've got, if you go looking at the website, it's www.timefortruth.com. .co.uk, www.timefortruth.co.uk. If you miss this, you can go back to christianwarroom.com and you can, I think it's going to be Talk 91. Go to Talk 91 and you can go back through the talk and see this. I'm just going to repeat it. It's timefortruth.co.uk, co.uk. Okay, and on this website, they're just a bunch of guys, they saw the need and they put some trucks together. They sell them on eBay as well. That's how I came across them. And they've got like a bunch of trucks here on this website and also some interesting stuff. So, for example, one thing which kind of intrigued me, but they've run out of them now, it's so-called gospel coins. So they print, it just looks like an ordinary silver coin, and they print a gospel message on there. So I think one of them says, "Where will you spend eternity?" And on the back it says, it's like John 3:16, God so much loved this world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, that verse. And then they've got another one, what is the meaning of life? And it's 1 John 5. I'm just looking here. I can't find it. It's first John 5, 1 verse from there. I think it's 14, verse 14. Then they've got a lot of tracks as well, you know, dealing with evolution and all the rest of it. The big problem is who is reading today, you know. Reading is sort of stuff which, I don't know, people have lost the skill of reading, maybe for the more older people. I'm not sure, but still, I mean, they need to be reached out as well. But what they've got is some interesting stuff. They've got a $1 million note, and then on the back they've just put a small gospel message in small print, and they do the same with a pound note. I think it's £1 billion or something, and you can leave it somewhere, and people are naturally going to be intrigued to pick it up. And maybe they'll read what's on the back of it, maybe not. What else? They've got small booklets, you know, from evolution to pretty much everything else they cover. And a whole range of trucks. They claim, and it's probably true, that they just sell them at cost, which is highly commendable for them, that it's not like, you know, they don't try to make a profit off it. You can buy Bibles and other stuff from them as well. So it's worthwhile to check out this website and to just see what they have. And they've got interesting scriptures there as well. Now, there are a couple of things to take from this. Yeah. The first one is, you can do something like that yourself. I mean, these guys are based in England. I think they're somewhere in the south. I had a look at the address, and somewhere in the south. And they have got a burden to get the gospel out, and they're trying their best. It looks like they're from a fairly small church, and they're doing stuff, and it's very, very important. Very, very important. Now, my friends, I'm sure you can do something similar. If you are in a different country, and there are sort of problems in your country within the church. You've got cult problems. You've got, one thing these guys sort of seem to zoom in is they've got a bit of a banter against modern Bibles. And I kind of agree with them. There are a lot of, there's I think one Bible which has been, it's the NIV, which has been done to make it politically correct. So they did a re-editing of the NIV version. And that's a bit of a problem. That's not really necessary. We don't need to make the Bible politically correct. If anything, we need the Bible to give us some standard of how we should think and how we should shape our thinking, and not the other way around. We've got some way of thinking which has emerged from a godless culture, and then we have to try and impose it onto the Bible. And stuff like that has been going on with the NIV. I've heard this. I've still got an old NIV somewhere. By the way, NIV stands for New International Version as a Bible. The English is fairly modern, so it's fairly easy to read. If you are a beginner in reading the Bible and you pick up a King James Bible, you're going to struggle unless you, you've got a good grasp of Shakespearean language. If you pick up an NIV, it's a lot easier for you to go through that, but there's a lot of interpretation that's gone into it, and that's sometimes a problem. So you are kind of removed from the original text. One more step. I mean, the translation itself is going to give some removal. And, smoothing it all off, you know, removes you one further step in putting sort of theology in there. So that's a problem. And so they go right back to the King James Version. They've got a point, I have to say, and it's not part of a war room, but just to sort of highlight this, obviously the King James Version is not the inspired word of God, it's just a translation. But the text which was used for the King James Version, other than I think one part in the Book of Revelation, I think it's one chapter, so they were struggling to get the original. But the text they're using is a so-called majority text, and later on it's been superseded by, which I also consider heretical text, you know, by texts from small groups like Sinaiticus and others, which are not as faithful to the scriptures, and there's a lot of weird doctrine in there, sort of hidden away, stashed away in there. Suggesting that probably they're not the best choice to use, and it might be better to use a majority text, which was available in the 1500s. And that's basically what the King James is based on, and that's why, you know, people say that this is, you know, the one to go for. And I agree with him. I would always prefer a Bible that has been translated from the majority text, the New Testament, from the majority text, rather than one that's been taking into consideration all the modern text variants as well. Okay, that's a little bit about this. Again, the website, I mentioned it one more time, timefortruth.co.uk. And if you've got time, go to this website. Let's have a look at some of the stuff they've got on here. So they've got Bibles. You can order from there. They've got chick trucks. Again, chick.com, I think. That's another, you know, comic writer who has got all the comic trucks. The trucks are actually quite powerful, and they probably get read more so than, you know, piece of paper with lots of words on it. I'm an educator. I know how, over time, how things have changed. Now people have almost got an aversion to reading, especially on the younger end. We need to obviously encourage them to read, but we need to present it to them in a way they can relate to. We need to, and if, you know, texty reading is not their thing, then we do it in a less texty. And Jack Chick has actually done this. So if you go to Chick Trucks, that's good. There's a link on their website to Jack Chick's trucks. There are a couple of videos on there, and let's have a look at Time for Truth videos, so what they have. So there's a little bit about who they are and all the tracts and books and so on they sell. You can see John Davis. I think he runs the show of the tracts, so he talks a little bit about it. And looking at him, I'm not sure. I think I've actually met him once. I think he had a store, a King James Only store, at one of Christian exhibitions. And he looks familiar to me. I don't know whether it's the same guy. I had a very, very small conversation with him. If it is him. Okay, so what else have we got here? We've got... he talks about, you know, bad Bible translation, so pretty much the same as what I talked to you about. Some of the problems we have. Then he's got anti-evolution stuff, the nonsense of evolution. He talks about the errors of Calvinism, which I probably don't agree with, but anyway... errors of post-trib, so he believes in pre-tribulation rapture. And there were also a couple of interesting tracts about the rapture, what happens when millions of people disappear. And then on the other side, and it's very interesting, very few Christians are talking about this, and I would recommend this guy for that. He has got the tract upside down, and it writes on there, what has happened? Millions of people has disappeared. So that's for people past the rapture, when lots and lots of people have disappeared. And so he's got like these booklet, and he just explains in the booklet, I haven't read it all the way through, I should have really before I do this talk, but I was just sort of skimming through, and it seems that he's just explaining, you know, what is happening with the rapture, and also what has happened with the rapture. So when people pick this tract up, you know, after it's all taken place. So, very important stuff. We've got 90 minutes. I've got about 10 minutes left. Let me just go through the website. Let me just get some of the materials, and then I quickly talk you through them. So, I ordered from them £1 billion bills, like a package of them. And it's on the front. You've got... it looks like real money. Obviously, it's just cardboard, so from a distance only. On the front, you've got £1 billion, and it says on there, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Mark 8, verse 36. And it says, "What would you do with $1 billion? Spend it on yourself, your family." And then you've got a little bit of a thing, and it goes right into the gospel. "For the wages of sin of death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ loved you so much that he took your sins, suffered, died, and was judged in your place, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Colossians 1, verse 14. And there's a little thing where you can put your phone number in, or your church's... you know, information or whatever. And then obviously there's their information as well. So you've got John Davis and Time for Truth and so on. They're not very expensive. As I said, they distribute it for cost. But what they've done is, because I ordered these, they were very kind to send me a lot more. So there's a $1 million bill in here. Obviously, it's not real. And it's the same thing on the back of the bird. So, I mean, if you leave it somewhere, people might just pick it up and check it out of curiosity. It might be real money after all. Might it not, yeah. So he's got designed or not designed, so that's the creationist stuff. He's got some stuff about the end times. I haven't read through it. It looks interesting. Will people read through it? I don't know. Yeah, people are not readers today, but maybe on a train or somewhere. If you go on a train, you leave it there, or on a bus. There's some business cards with "He loves you," and then just single card trucks. It says here, please accept this tip with our compliments. Place coins here. Yeah. For an extra tip, please see the reverse of this card. So you, when you go to a restaurant, you've got a tip card. And then it says here, escape the damnation of hell before it's too late. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Very simple text. And then it's the address of John Davis. I mean, the good man has put his address all over. But I don't know. I don't know whether it works or not. Still, we need to get the message out, and that is an important thing. What else have we got here? Does anyone really care? Big question. So that's a big truck, you know, big letters. And then it carries on. Have you ever felt unloved, lonely, as if no one cares, understands? And then there's a little bit of a story leading to the gospel, a couple of scriptures at the end. The son I never was, that's the story of the author, which is John Davis. Who cares? Yeah. The same thing. It's a big people, because a lot of people feel alone and they don't know that God is really out there. He's longing to be with them. And as a society, as we are failing people. We are very open-minded, you know, and we love everything from, you know, very strange to completely obscene and weird. But very often we just forget, you know, the people closest to us, and we don't care for them as a society. And the church obviously should be different. Why is our country in such a mess? And then, big question, a lot of people ask this. There's a British Union Jack at the back, and I think a lot of people can relate to it. And obviously, the answer is quite clear. You know, we are falling away from God, and as we fall away from God, everything else pretty much goes down the drain, and we're living in a country that's not worthwhile living. If you ever want to find out what real corruption is, go to countries that have officially abdicated from God. Go to the Ukraine, go to Russia, and talk to people over there. You know, deal with the corruption that's there and the callousness. And I've seen sort of the Ukraine who, you know, where people were just murdered for a few dollars, yeah, especially sort of in the 90s. And where it was ruthless, it was just a lawless society. And that was a society that had given up God and then imploded on itself. There's an interesting one as well. Who's your favorite superhero? So you've got like Spider-Man, Superman. I don't fully understand them. I think Batman is one of them, and then some other comic figure. And that might be interesting for kids to read through. The print is very easy to read. It's spaced out. And obviously it then leads up to Jesus. And right at the end, you've got you know, the little diagram with the chasm. So you've got people on one side, God on the other side, and then you've got the cross in the middle to make the bridge for people to cross over. The missing piece is another truck they've got here. Why have millions of people suddenly disappeared? And when you turn it around, you have to turn it the opposite way around. And then it says here, very soon millions of people shall suddenly disappear. And then obviously the other way, why have millions of people suddenly disappeared? And it sort of explains what's happening with the rapture and what is going on here. Is there life after death? A very important question. A lot of people don't know the answers. And especially if somebody's grieving. You know, it's very, very important for them to know. And it's been written by Davis. Then we've got big cards, he loves you, and a little bit of gospel message at the back. So these are the trucks they sent me. And obviously to, you know, encourage me to order more stuff of them. But they are good. They're actually quite good. And again, what I would encourage you, and it's probably printing-wise not that expensive to do. All you need is, you know, have a concept, put some stuff together, something that's relevant to your culture as well. So, for example, if you're in Germany, it's maybe not a good point to have lots of English trucks or English-speaking trucks. I mean, make some other stuff as well, which is much more interesting. I mean, one of the things they've done as well, and as I said, like I've just ordered some, is coins with a little gospel message on them. And a piece of paper truck, people throw it away. But if you've got a silver coin, I'm not sure. You probably don't throw it away. And if you throw it away, somebody else will pick it up. So Maybe. I mean, that's I've ordered some, so I'm looking forward to getting them, and I realize they have run out. But if you've got a means of pressing coins, or you've got a coin pressing machine, or maybe you can even order some and create a stencil, I think it's called, you know, the little stump that goes onto it to press coins, why not? You know, why not go for it? And why not, you know, have these coins, scatter them all over and let people pick them up, you know? Even if you just drop them on the floor somewhere, you can guarantee somebody's going to pick them up and they're going to read this. And if they hate it, they probably throw it down again and somebody else is going to pick it up. You know? And obviously they are resilient with weather and everything else. So it's worthwhile. Even if they put them in the rubbish, if somebody clears out the rubbish and sees a coin in there, the temptation is there to pick it up because it might be something valuable. And surely it is, because there's a gospel message on there. And it's a very important message. So, very interesting ideas. And this is sort of a really great war room activity. Produce your own tracts, design them, you know, get the maybe some coins going as well, you know, with a gospel message on there. You know, where will you spend eternity? And then John 3:16 on the other side. Obviously, spell it out, because most people won't have a clue what John 3:16 stands for or what it means. Yeah, most people haven't got a clue about the Bible or haven't got a Bible these days. So it's important to, you know, put the whole verse on there or just a message. Very, very condensed and concise. Other sort of stuff which I picked up, but I had a store once and it just didn't work. But who knows? In Germany, I bought the whole Bible, the King James Bible, on a slide. You know, which you could put in a projector, like the old slide projectors. And I bought a microscope, and you can actually, you know, put that thing under the microscope and read the Bible. It's a novelty thing. It was only like £4 or £5, but it should be interesting in times of persecution. And if you, you know, study something with a microscope, nobody's ever suspect you to read the Bible, you know. But again, it's an English Bible, it's in King James, but stuff like that might be interesting, even though I probably wouldn't scatter them about. I would maybe give them away as a novelty, you know, get people interested in the Bible. Okay, that's it. You know, we are out of time. Let me sum up one more time. War room idea. Look at your culture. Try and understand your culture in the country where you are. Get together with a team of people, brothers and sisters, you know, in Christ. Work on tracts you may write yourself, little stories, little testimonies. Maybe do it in digital format as well. Use B-sticks, CD-ROMs, dead cheap. Maybe have some fake money. Don't make fake money, it gets you into prison, but some stuff that looks like money but isn't actually money. You're not forging anything. And you know, let people pick it up. Look at coins as well. Maybe you can get a coin machine, a coin pressing machine, a coin press. I don't know what you call them. And what else can you do? You can then, you know, set up an online shop. Let people, you know, go and buy this stuff and distribute it. Do it at cost, you know, and it should be okay. And it's a great war room activity, something you can do and something you can do for your outreach. Lord, I pray, Father, that you will inspire listeners here at BPN Radio, that there will be more and more war rooms coming up, and that more and more tracts and more ideas to get your gospel out will be implemented, and that it'll happen. I pray, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you want to check it out, go to christianwarroom.com. This is talk number 91. Okay.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.